From the Roundhouse, I'm Joey Peters.
I'm Matthew Reichbach.
It's the Weekly Word.
And we're here this week with State Fair Commissioner Charlotte Rohde.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the recent controversial deal at the racetrack and casino at the Downs in the State Fair.
And her problems trying to get the documents and other information on that. So we'll have her explain what all that is here when we get back after this break.
I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter.
I'm Matthew Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram.
And we're here with Charlotte Rohde, State Fair Commissioner. How you doing, Charlotte?
Real good, thank you.
And we're here to talk about the Downs, the controversial Downs deal that Commissioner Rohde is a big opponent of. So why don't we start off, can you just tell us a little bit about what the Downs deal is and why you're opposed to it?
Well, the Downs deal is really something that goes back many years and back into when Richardson was governor, and the ownership of the Downs attempted several times to get a long-term lease initiated through the state so that they could be secure in their contract with their casino and their racetrack. And those attempts through the years have been unsuccessful. The most recent one was in 2010 when they attempted to get a 45-year lease through in the last minute of Governor Richardson's term. And they did that in a secretive manner. And so some of the commissioners were concerned and they blocked the vote.
And they were trying to do that without bidding? Right.
What it was is they justified it as a sole source contract because there was not an ability for another contractor to have a racino on the on the property of the state fair if the ownership of the Downs moved to Moriarty. It was too close to abide by the laws, so they justified a sole source contract. But the difference was that when you issue a sole source contract, that contract actually has to be vetted through the state legislature. So it really did have more oversight than the one did currently.
So then eventually the following year, I believe 2011 is when the deal finally got approved, and this was they put out an RFP, what you refer to as a faux RFP.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
Well, what happened really was that...
Real quick, RFP is a request for proposal for our listeners that don't quite know.
Mm-hmm.
No, that, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. And really, the timeline and what you see is that the positioning of the players happened very early on in Governor Martinez's administration when she first took office. And so you had a shift in the ownership leadership of the Downs. So you had the Democrat who was the president of their corporation during the Richardson administration. As soon as Governor Martinez was elected, they switched to the Republican ownership to they were in charge. So the two owners from Louisiana who were Republicans, they became primary in the leadership roles within the Downs. They also started placing top Republican lobbyists in February of 2011, and that would be Pat Rogers and Mickey Barnett. So the lobbying to promote the contract started very early in her administration. And so the process went forward, and in June, the new manager had been put in place. The extension was signed. Now, that's different from the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
The extension was that they were going to take the current contract that the Downs was under and extend it for a year so that it would give everyone involved the time to evaluate the contract and to issue an RFP. At least that was that's what they purported as to why they were doing the extension. But what we see through documents and what happened was that within a couple of days after both parties signed the extension, so the public was thinking there was an extension in place.
Just for a year.
For a year. The governor stated that she was going to put it on the call for the special session. So everyone involved believed that there was another year and a half, basically, on the contract left. And so nobody was anticipating an RFP coming out immediately. But behind the scenes, what was happening was that within a few days of that signature being on the extension, the governor's office was working with State Fair Management and appointed them a lawyer to write an RFP. And so, with unbeknownst to the public, an RFP was being produced. At the same time, they were negotiating a sole source contract for that year.
So basically, it was all happening in secret.
It was.
That's what your big concern comes in.
Yes, my concern is not the casino. We've had a casino there. I've lived in that neighborhood since I was born, and so it's not the fact that we have a racetrack or a casino. It's the process by which they manipulated it to accommodate one private interest.
Now, yeah, and you come from the neighborhood, and around this time is when you were named as a commissioner by Governor Martinez, and so you come from the neighborhood, and I know there's been lots of neighborhood concern with the way the Racino has been managed for the past 20, 25 years, so you're kind of from that perspective.
I am. And one of the issues has always been, and anyone in this roundhouse would recognize and agree, that the state fair has kind of been manipulated by the governor's office in previous administrations to their benefit and the benefit of their friends. And so from the neighborhood's perspective, that this has been an ongoing issue that they've been locked out of. Now, from a commission standpoint, the commission actually had power back in the day when Governor Richardson was in place. And currently, though, even though the commission had a quorum, and at the time the RFP was let, 6 out of the 7 commissioners were in place. So by statute, they should have had authority over the RFP, and they should have had authority over the extension. They were never consulted. So independent of the commission, the governor's office, and the appointed management, which again is something that is against statute, the governor has appointed all 5 members of the management team at the state fair, and that is a duty of the commission by statute. So what happened was that they disregarded the commission, and they produced an RFP without the involvement of the commission, and then they misrepresented it, saying that there wasn't a commission in place, when in fact that there was.
So when did you first voice your concerns about this? Because that's pretty much when the public heard about it, was from your concerns, correct?
Well, my first meeting was September 1st of 2011. And there were several of the commissioners who voiced concerns over the process and a lack of access to information.
So basically just a lack of transparency on what happened.
Correct. Both on the RFP itself and on the selection committee. Because we were not at that meeting, that selection committee was kept secret from us. They would not tell us who was on the selection committee. And so it was an issue that we felt this was a very important vote, that it meant 25 years for the community of having to deal with this Racino. It meant about $1 billion or more to the applicant who won the award. And so we felt as though we needed adequate information to make an educated vote. And without that, we felt as though we were rubber stamps.
Yeah, so you basically didn't have the oversight that you guys are tasked with doing. You guys couldn't do it correctly.
Correct. We didn't have access to information. But what we found is through the documents that have been revealed over the last year, that was by intent. And there's a specific email from Dan Morning to Ryan Cangelosi stating that they were keeping the access to the RFP information to 5 people. And that would be Dan Morning, Mark Shoesmith, who was his attorney, and then the 3 evaluators.
Now, when they were having the 30-day RFP, and you had requested to see both responses, there's 2 responses, one from the Downs, one from Laguna. What happened there?
When I requested them?
Didn't you have trouble accessing the actual...
Well, I've had trouble from day one. So even though what happened at that first meeting in September 1st is that the Assistant Attorney General was at the meeting, and she agreed that we should have access to the responses to RFP. And she contacted Ryan Cangelosi in the governor's office, who is the governor's deputy chief of staff, and she confirmed that we should have access to that, and he agreed to provide us with those documents. That never occurred.
And then I guess that brings us to the IPRA portion of the discussion. So you have a Inspection of Public Records Act request out to them right now, and you still haven't received all the documents, right?
I haven't received any of them.
And I think that Joey wrote a little about this.
Yeah, and you'd filed a lawsuit over this. Just tell us about the lawsuit quickly.
Well, the concern from my perspective is that I'm a sitting commissioner, and by statute, I have a responsibility of oversight for the state fair and their business practices. And so when I cannot gain access to information, that's a problem. And when the Attorney General makes it clear that we are to have access to that information and we don't get it, that's a problem. When the state fair manager offers that information, at least in-house, he offered all the other commissioners a one-on-one meeting in his office to view the documents before the vote. I have the copy of the text message he sent me, and the text message he sent me was asking if I had any questions about the lease. He never offered to have me come in and look at the documents. And since then, they have repeatedly kept me from getting access to things. I asked specifically for the lease document, the enacted signed lease. They never gave it to me. I asked for it. I went into the office. I called, and I had to actually access that document through a senator who got it for me.
So you're looking for the lease and both responses to the RFPs, correct?
I did get the lease through a senator, and I have yet to see the responses to RFP, the best and finals, or any of the other related RFP documents.
And that's what the lawsuit's over. And I want to read what Michael Henningsen had said to me. He's the spokesman for Expo New Mexico, which runs the state fair, about your lawsuit. He says the documents that Commissioner Rohde requested, if it in fact existed, has been made available to her under the exact guidelines provided in the act in every case. What's your response to that?
Well, I still haven't gotten them. And I have documented requests even before I knew that IPRA existed. I didn't even understand what the IPRA laws were because I'd never been in this position before. So the official requests that I've made in writing have never been fulfilled. And I did create official IPRA requests, but even prior to that, I made several written requests for those documents, and I still have not received them. And it's an interesting response because I am a sitting commissioner, and I do actually have the right to see the entire documents and not just the public documents. But it was interesting to me that instead of responding to this lawsuit and saying, oh, we're sorry, we thought we'd given those to you and they give them to me, they decided to, as they said, vigorously fight my access.
So on that IPRA request, like, did they just send you a letter telling you we don't have these, or do they say it's too, what sort of excuse do they give for not giving documents?
They didn't give me any excuse, really. They did provide multiple copies of the lease, and then as typical, if you look at a lot of these IPRA complaints from Laguna, from, you know, different organizations that I've read on the internet as far as the ones that have had problems with IPRAs, kind of the typical way of handling it is they either give you nothing or they give you just huge volumes of information, and it's like they dropped it on the floor. So when I went in to get the documents that I had requested, none of the RFP documents were provided, nor have they ever been. Only multiple copies of the lease and emails. Now, I went through the emails one by one, and because they were charging me to get copies of these emails, and I'm a volunteer, I don't get paid for being a state fair commissioner, I picked out 40 of those emails, And then there was also some other documents that they said that they would not charge me for. They were financial documents on utility payments. And so I picked out 40 of those emails and the stack of utility payments, and I asked for copies of them. And she said that she would get back with me when she had them available, and they never produced them for me.
So, and then that brings me to another question. It's about you expressing the desire, the need to look at these two responses to the RFPs from Laguna and the Downs, and something that Michael Henningsen had told me last summer was the commission isn't charged with evaluating proposals. Merely, they decide whether the lease itself is a good deal. And Michael Henningsen said, quote, "With all due respect, Commissioner Rohde is confused about what her role as a commissioner is, and that is a big part of a problem, the problem." So basically, he's saying that the commission isn't there to actually evaluate the RFPs, but it's there to decide whether the lease is a good deal or not. And what is your response to that?
Well, I think it's really the administration and the management that's confused as to what the legislative intent was in our enabling legislation. So when you're talking about what the commission is charged with, that actually is written down in statute. And so in statute, the State Fair Commission is at the top of the flow chart. We are above the State Fair Management.
Right. It says that you hire the State Fair Management.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And we did not. We didn't hire him, nor did we have any input into any of the managers that were appointed. So if you take a look at history, I mean, you have appointed positions at every position at the State Fair. And by their words, Michael also sent you a message that stated that appointed positions, that anyone who is appointed by Governor Martinez, their job is to move the governor's agenda forward. And if they can't do that, then they need to resign. And so to me, what that means is that you are supposed to be a rubber stamp. And in fact, if that's her intent, then by hiring every person within the management of the State Fair and appointing everyone within the State Fair Commission, that means that everyone was supposed to move her agenda forward. My question is, what's her agenda?
Yeah, and that is, Michael did say that in the original story I wrote back last August. That brings me to another thing. Another point is that both you and Tom Tinnen are very critical of how this deal went through. And Tom Tinnen's a former, was he the former?
Actually, he was the longest standing chair of the State Fair Commission. He was chair for 6 years. He was also the longest standing member of the Board of Finance for 16 years. Tom Tinnen has the most institutional knowledge of anybody living of the State Fair, its needs, and the history of the Downs contract.
Now, both you and him are critical, highly critical of this, and a lot of the first media reports on the Downs came from Michael Corwin, who's with Independent Source PAC, who's partisan Democrat, I would say, and but both you and Tom are Republicans, pretty much opposing a Republican governor. So some have called this political, what you're doing, but I guess my question is,
I'm the furthest thing from a political person. I've never been involved in politics. I've never been involved with the party. I am a conservative, and I believe in the things that the governor ran on. I believe in those things that do have to do with eliminating corruption and to holding people accountable so that private interests do not benefit from public relationships, and that public elected officials do not act in a way to benefit themselves either privately or publicly. It's not a difference in platform, if you would say, but it is a difference in how we view this process and this contract.
So how did, if you're not a political person, how did you get appointed to the position? That's just what well, comes to my mind.
I'm not a political person, and I've never been involved with politics, but I do have a heart for education, and I do have a heart for the state fair. And so I had the opportunity to volunteer for a friend of mine who is a senator, Senator Mark Boitano, and he invited me to spend the last 60-day session here with him so that I could learn about the processes and how it affects education. So I spent most every day up here two sessions ago during the 60-day session and worked with him and paid attention to how education reform went through and paid attention to the state fair issues that were brought up by Senator McSorley and Senator Keller. And so because of a few other senators that I know personally that I've gone back, you know, just friends, they recommended me for this position because one of the pieces of legislation that year was to make it mandatory that one of the members of the State Fair Commission was a neighborhood person, because in the past the it's right in the middle of the city, so it abuts the neighborhood on every end, and there's never been any access that the neighborhoods have had to say what's going on because they're not obligated by zoning laws and there's no real oversight by the city.
Mm-hmm. Then another assertion, you've already addressed this, is that Michael Henningsen has said it's because you're anti-gaming.
Mm. No, I don't think that it's a great idea to have a casino in the poorest neighborhood in the city as far as the highest density poverty, but it's already there and it's been there forever. But I do think it's important that the stakeholders, those communities that it's going to impact, have a seat at the table, that they're allowed to contribute to the ideas and the oversight that has to do with the casino so that they can minimize the negative impact that it has on the people that live in that area.
Okay, and then real quick, because we got a couple minutes here. You're here today not just to speak to us. You had a report about this whole situation. What's in that report that you compiled?
Well, it's an in-depth report that basically goes over the entire process of what happened with the RFP and the ultimate award. But what it does specifically is it takes those documents that have been made available through IPRA requests, some of them from the Santa Fe Reporter, that those documents tell the story in their words. So it's not my opinion, it's not my feelings, but it's basically taking those documents and creating a timeline of what happened and when and who was communicating with whom and who drove those conversations and made those decisions. And so it's basically putting in all of these public documents in order, and then I'm just providing kind of the commentary of the timeline as to what happened during which period of time during the RFP process.
And who, can you say who you presented this to or who, which politicians you're talking to up here now?
I don't think it's necessary to say specifically who I gave them to, but I'd like to, if I could afford it, I'm, like I said, this is something that I do on my own dime, so if I could afford it, I would make copies for every member of both houses, but I don't have any funding. So I just find people who might be interested, who I feel like might take the time to read it, and my hope is that there's some positive change towards good government, that somehow they can take the lessons from what happened here and make changes in processes to make sure that it doesn't happen in the future.
One last question I wanted a response from you on is the Rob Nicoleski of Capital Report New Mexico, I think last month, had a post about an audit by Griego. He had a page of the audit that basically said the Downs did no wrongdoing in this whole process. And we do know that the state auditor has said that that audit is incomplete, but what are your responses to that?
Well, you're right, it is incomplete, and I have been able to see parts of it because I am a commissioner, but it is not a public document yet, so I can't comment on what's in that document. But what I can say is that paper was handed over to the media, and it wasn't an official document. It was a work paper. And so it's something that each time I show my face in Santa Fe or speak up against something that's going on, there is a media outlet or a newspaper that subsequently calls or tries to find something to discredit me with. And that's okay. I'm gotten used to it, and my family's gotten used to it, and I just have to make sure that I'm doing what's right. I have absolutely no control over the outcome. I don't have any power in the world. So I just have to do what I believe is right, and then not worry really what happens in the end.
Well, maybe when that report comes out, or the audit comes out, we can have you back on. And thanks for coming, speaking with us, explaining what the Downs deal was for our listeners who might not know.
I appreciate your time. Thanks. Okay.
And I'm Matthew Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram and mtelegram.com.
And I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter. Tune in to us next week.